The following audio discussion is episode 3 of Astound's podcast series, AI and the Future of Work. Host Dan Turchin, co-founder and chief product officer of Astound, welcomes Tony North, an IT veteran, evangelist, and president of Seattle HDI chapter, to discuss how today's top IT leaders scale ITSM tools to prepare for the work of tomorrow.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another great episode of AI and the Future of Work. I'm your host, Dan Turchin from Astound, and we're super lucky today to be joined by a special guest, Tony North, who needs no introduction, but I'll still ask him to introduce himself. Tony, tell us a little bit about your background.
Thank you, Dan. Today, excited to join. Appreciate you guys spending some time. I'm Tony North. I'm the support manager for the IT support manager for Sinclair. I also am the president of the Seattle HDI chapter here, and just excited to join. Been part of the IT world here now for about 20 years.
Tony, you've seen it all. You've done it all. When we were talking offline, you tell me about some of the amazing places where you've had an opportunity to introduce customers to ITSM. Talk about some of the adventures you've been on over the years.
Well, I've been fortunate to have quite a few adventures. A lot of my work involved implementing systems through about 26 countries and about 42 states. So that's given me an opportunity to see places that normally I wouldn't get to see. One of the biggest adventures I had was, and honors that I had, was being able to be part of the Commonwealth Games as the help desk manager, which was a 2-year project in Malaysia. And that gave me an opportunity to take ITSM to a totally different level, not just talking about technology, but also, you know, the different events that occurred, but being prepared so that we could be successful.
One of the things that makes you so interesting is that you've been both on the vendor side as well as on the client side. What do you think it is that vendors don't get about the way ITSM really works in the real world?
That's a great question. As a vendor, you're right, for half of my career and then 17 years as a director of tech support, there's what I call the gray area. And that's where the technology, you know, meets people and the human element. And so the trick is really being able to be advanced in technology, but using the human element to, you know, make it real, to ensure that customers, you know, are feeling like they're getting what, you know, what they paid for, what they expect. And so a lot of the gray area is wrapped around those expectations, doing some ITSM, you know, pre-testing, QA, at the same time being able to wrap some instructions so that there's a flow through the human element to make it all work the right way. And once you package that together, it's a very, very powerful combination.
One of the things I love about your philosophy is your focus on people as much as process, and is usually, I think, more than tools. How do you screen for cultural fit when you hire for service desks that you manage?
That is always a challenge, being able to identify, you know, the people element as part of the plan, which it should always be. Because you'll have strengths and weaknesses, and being able to identify that in these elements really gives you the ability to execute on the expectations. I typically am one of those folks, you know, 25% of the job is recruiting. And I typically focus on the requirements that are needed technically, but I also really focus on that customer service aspect. And what I've found is it's way easier to be able to find somebody who's got or has the ability to have great customer service and then utilize those customer service skills and then train them on the technical. Whereas the reverse can be a challenge. If I find the perfect technical fit, they may be very technical and can solve 100% of everything you need, but then on the customer service side, it may seem redundant for them to say things multiple times or have that same customer with that same problem. And based on that, I find really the trick is a balance of strong customer service skills, but stronger or strong technical skills, and being able to then balance that So on average, I would say that I hire a little less technical than what I need and a little stronger customer service. And that way, then I can use our team to fill in any technical gaps.
I think most employees don't appreciate how hard of a job it is to be on the service desk. Super high turnover. It's really a thankless job. What are some of the things that you do to keep your best agents engaged and make work fun?
You know, that is a challenge because I do find that, you know, people do want to do the right thing. They want to work hard. But, you know, we tend to be in a corner or in a basement as a group. And so it's hard to really what I call get visibility upstairs so that the company can view us in a different light. And the way that we address that is by involving ourselves in the organization, working as a partner with other teams like, you know, QA or development if you're developing code, or, you know, if it's customer service and HR is involved, then HR. And by building partnerships, we tend to try to find what is it that those other teams need? Well, we know we need them. You know, we're going to need to ask them, hey, please fix this bug or please solve this issue. And then we're going to report that back to the customer and set expectations. But what can we do better that can actually help other teams? And that's what we look for. So if we take the example of development, for instance, what can we do for them? Well, we can provide them information that customers would like to share with them, but they don't have a voice directly to development. So that's what we do. We identify those teams, the areas that we can help them, maybe metrics, maybe data, maybe information, maybe what are the customers sharing. And then based on that, we work with them to share that information. So they share information with us. And instead of it being a, hey, we tossed it over to the wall to our dev folks to fix or our DevOps, you know, in this partnership methodology, it's, hey, we're getting help from our partners. And they're getting help from us. And that two-way street does a couple of things. It enables us to build a rapport with those different teams as opposed to just giving them things we need their help with. And then secondly, it elevates our level in the whole organization. Because those different teams, we all kind of report up to the same element eventually, they're able to share in management how support is not just taking customer calls, but providing valuable information to things like product management, whereas, you know, they'd have to call these customers directly. And that elevates the team as a whole, being able to still be the technical ones to communicate with customers, but also being recognized in the organization for helping other teams elevates our stature in the organization, gives us and our team the ability to have growth paths, and ultimately, by doing this, we've seen other teams actually want to come join our team, which is pretty strange, as I'm sure you know, Dan, having other teams like sales and development say, hey, we want to go to support, but that's just because they see the teamwork that we provide and our ability to help the whole organization.
We're always striving to deliver engaging experiences with technology to our internal customers. I think one of the things that makes your job hard is coming up with the right ways to measure the value that we're providing as a service provider. How do you see that? What are the best metrics?
The best metrics for providing those internal, I would say, first of all, the metrics are good. I do back that up with feedback. I like to get the metrics and then bounce it off of the stakeholders to get feedback on those metrics. Some of the metrics that we get, if, you know, they're not very clear, we'll reach out to you know, our internal customers and gain a better insight. But typically the metrics that I would say are important usually involve the ability to execute quickly. Most of our customers have projects, they want them done quickly. And so based on that, we're gonna determine in our metrics, how fast can we execute? We're gonna take past years of information where we've worked in these projects and maybe take a similar project, and then based on that, make some assessments to see how fast we can execute. The other step or the other metric is going to be based on quality. So speed and then quality. And, you know, it's really good to have the speed, but if you have reopened tickets, for instance, then there's an issue about the quality. So we're going to work on understanding what those requirements are and ensuring that we know what makes this activity of good quality. And then we will share that information as well. And it's, then the third one is really that feedback. So speed, quality, and feedback. We want to make sure we're hitting the mark. So being able to intertwine feedback from customers with the metrics really helps us be able to understand the metrics, or maybe see a metric that we should be paying attention to that we haven't, like reopened calls or calls that are dropped, which nobody wants those. But if that's a part of the metrics that's causing our customers problems, then that's going to be part of the solution and our goals to focus on. So being able to have those bits of information with that feedback helps us also design the type of metrics that we would use. But ultimately, speed, quality, feedback, these areas help us drive a direction and then ensure that all expectations are met by that destination.
You've been around ITSM tools just about longer than anyone, well more than 20 years. Tell me, what's your biggest impression about what has changed about the, not so much the people or the process, but focusing on the tool silo? How have the tools evolved?
That's a great question. You know, after spending time with the Heat folks, the Magic Solution, now BMC folks, and the Knowledge Management folks, really you start seeing certain things that are common across the board. There's going to be tools that are stronger or tools that still need improvement, but I do find that, you know, tools kind of all kind of play catch up to things. And here's one of the things that I see that they play catch up on. The two areas that I see tools driving towards now, the first one is self-service. There's no question, even in my business here today, we're working on self-service, and I've deployed self-service as a vendor for many years. But it's always about getting that right solution when you're using self-service, because you want repeat business. You also want the solutions to be current. So enabling the self-service to be able to have those frequent updates, you know, is important, because if you go to self-service and you don't find what you're looking for, you're not going to go there again. So being able to be accurate and up and current is a key there for self-service. The next tool that I would share is data, which I never thought would be one of those things 10 years ago we would focus on. But after working with APIs and integrating systems, which is really, in today's world, that's a tool, being able to integrate into systems, having them work together. A lot of times your accounting team may have a certain tool, you've got to adhere to that, or self-service may be used in another part of the organization, so you have to adhere to that. So then being able to integrate data enables you to still get what you're looking for. And if it's self-service that you're integrating data with, your customers are getting what they're looking for. The other pieces that I see the use of data being used is being able to learn from the data. And that's one thing we don't do a lot. We do talk about crystal reports and reporting and Tableau and, you know, those type of tools that can help us analyze data. But really taking that data to the next step, understanding why that data is there. For instance, if we just talk about one data set like the resolution code, why did we choose that resolution code? Or in that description, why did the customer ask these questions? And then really being able to analyze it and say, oh, well, if the customer is asking these questions, then as a support team, maybe we should be considering wrapping answers around those questions or putting an FAQ together, you know, specific to what the customers, you know, are seeing from us. So really, the three tools that I would say is going to be the self-service, using that data for repeat business, and then also using the data to identify things that may be helpful to your customer, but may not be things that we've thought about yet.
Tony, I got time to get in one last question for you. So we've talked a little bit about the past, a little bit about your background. Now polish your crystal ball. Tell me about three trends that you see. Call it, you know, a 3 to 5 year time horizon. What's going to change about our world of support?
That's a great topic. I would say that the three things that, you know, change, and there's a lot of change that's going on even as we speak. The first one We went from decentralized to enterprise and then centralized. And I see one thing that we're changing on right now is going back to decentralized. And from that perspective, what I'm sharing that I'm reading now is being able to have systems that are separate. And then we evolved to having systems all the same. And you can take the perfect example is Microsoft Office. Microsoft put all those tools together and then came up with this Office bundle. And now many companies have continued the bundle methodology to sell in a bundle and be able to capitalize on that. And now we're seeing, you know, as we go to AWS hosting and cloud, whatever name that you may call it, we're getting back to a decentralized environment where we're using things like single sign-on to enable those permissions, but keeping everybody logged in so that they can, you know, be speedy with the work that they do. So I see that evolving again into a decentralized world where these hosted systems will link together through technology like APIs or web services, but they're isolated by themselves. The second thing that I see is the type of reporting that we're doing. This is one of those areas where reporting in the past has been something where we would generate a report for our internal or external customer. And today we're using reporting completely differently for that data element to determine, are we hitting the right mark? Or maybe it's data from our website that people are using. But ultimately, we're using reporting and data in a better way in today's world. And then the last thing, which is one of the topics I'll be sharing here over the next few months as well, is robots. I hate to say it, but as we all evolve, I mean, the Ford manufacturing line had to evolve into a manufacturing process. And as we evolve here, we're going to do the same. I'm actually talking about robots doing work that normal people would do, or it would be a job that I would apply for, such as one of the companies called Zoom that is delivering pizzas in a truck, but having a machine build the pizzas as opposed to a human element, or a call center in Dubai where, you know, they have only two subject matter experts, but they have eight agents taking the basic calls and then using the self-service as the voice mechanism to solve the common things that, you know, customers are facing. So I see those three areas, but the last one here on robots, I see that over the next 5 to 10 years, getting better, more improved in their communication, more improved in their ability to talk and sound more human, as opposed to, you know, being a voice recorder or, you know, something that sounds more robotic. And as these robots talk better, so will the jobs that they will unfortunately fill. So a lot of change in today's world that we're going to keep up with, but not all bad. You just need to be aware so that we can apply the right tools for the right expectations.
Tony, this has been fantastic. Feels like we're just getting started. Maybe if you wouldn't mind, as we delve deeper into that future that you just prognosticated, particularly maybe the third point about AI and the world of work, maybe we'll have you back for another session. Thank you so much. Great discussion. And we'll talk to you soon.
That sounds great. Thank you. Have a great day.